It's the Great American Folk Show. Blessings to you and your family. My name is Tom Brousseau, and over the course of the next hour, I hope to take you on what I believe will be a very pleasant journey through thought and music. And around the halfway point, producer Eric Dethridge joins us for a conversation with Thomas Dolby, whose music has definitely been part of the soundtrack of my life. The videos, too. She Blinded Me with Science was one I hope to catch every Sunday morning on MTV growing up. I just thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And if you're in North Dakota, Thomas Dolby makes a rare appearance at Four Bears Casino in Newtown. One of my favorite instruments is the ukulele. My father bought one for me a long time ago at Scott's in Grand Forks, and I brought it on a trip the guys in my family took to Utah back in the 1990s. My brother Ben, myself, and our pop Jim. We thought it'd be fun to rent a Mustang convertible. I sat in the back seat the entire time, planning to practice as we made our way through Monument Valley and Four Corners and eventually Moab, Utah. Well, one night in Tucumcari, I set the ukulele over the back seat after we'd rolled the top up for the night. And the next morning, when it was my turn to drive, I completely forgot it was there. Without thinking, I put the top down and crushed that ukulele into about a million pieces. I was so devastated. Well, later I wrote a song about it called The Broken Ukulele. I didn't play the ukulele after that for many years, but I never stopped loving its sound. And I'm going to play a little tune on my brand new ukulele that I got. This one is called Motherless Child. It's by an old folk artist that I really love, Barbecue Bob.
Mistreat you, girl, sure don't mean no harm. If I mistreat you, girl, sure don't mean no harm. Oh, I'm a motherless child, I don't know right from wrong. Please tell me, pretty mama, where'd you stay? Thank you.
You're listening to the Great American Folk Show. Southern California pop indie musician V. Torres's second album, Woman is Nothing But a Good Time. I've been loving the way her tunes drive with that Gibson ES-335 crunch. I mean, what a sound. Roll the top down somewhere along the Pacific Coast Highway and turn this one up. It's V. Torres.
Hi, I'm V. Torres, and what's really exciting me these days is the spirit of collaboration and taking your time with your projects. I felt so lucky to be able to write these songs and play them out live for an extended period of time before I went in to start recording them. Being able to toss ideas around and have different players play on the songs and get feedback in real time when we played them live. Such a cool way to shape the spirit of the songs and how, you know, ultimately they end up being creative. And I'm lucky to have really dear friends who are artists and creatives, and just watching them go through their journey of life and their creative process and being able to talk about that stuff and share with each other and inspire each other is just something I feel super lucky to have in my life.
Over and over again.
challenge all life, raising kids to be strong. Now your broken, battled scar, it's no wonder the light seems so far.
That was V. Torres with Winter Solstice from her terrific new album, Woman. I couldn't recommend it more highly. Thanks, V. Let's roll right along, shall we? By the way, hello, it's me, Tom Russo. It's a Great American Folk Show with bagpiper Donald W.G. Lindsay and fiddler Rue Geddes joining us from Scotland. Get ready to go tartan. Their new collaboration is spiritual, playful, and simply outstanding.
Hi Tom, thanks for having us back on the Great American Folk Show. I'm Donald W. Lindsay here with my friend, the fiddler and pianist Rue Geddes. My new album, which Rue and me recorded together in the Highlands in April, is called Honeymoon Bridge, and it's built around a new form of the pipes that I developed myself and which is increasing in popularity amongst pipers. It takes their familiar droning sound and takes it down the octave, opens it out to over 2.5 octaves of range. Rue has been playing alongside this instrument almost from the beginning, back in 2014, so we sat down together to talk about where it came from and what kind of music it might now make possible.
What's your perspective on this instrument? What's your memory of it and your kind of encounter with it?
Well, I do quite vividly remember the first rehearsal where you produced those initially absolutely brightly coloured rainbow pipes and yeah. Thinking to yourself, oh God, what have I got myself into here? But quickly captured by this, the extended range. And so just like finding the pipe scale within my fingers, not just in the initial octave, but also in the new range that this system obviously has.
Even for listeners who are not familiar with pipes, I think you'll notice that when the pipes play in the middle of their range, they have that warm, buzzy sound of the small pipes. But then you'll notice when they go into the new notes, because when they go low, they get very sort of warmer and fuzzier and thick sounding and bassy. And when they go high, they go into this kind of sweet falsetto. And those notes are new. Those are the notes that this design brings forward. and it takes the pipes, the small pipes, up to 2.5 octaves, and it's fun to explore that. Yeah, what would you say stands out to you about this particular album? What sort of an album is it?
Well, there's a lot in this record. It's quite hard to pin it down. For me, it does. It features the pipes in a way that the first album featured our arrangements of the songs and had a glimpse of the pipes, but this really brings the pipes into the foreground. There's some music that's pretty brand new, you know, our own tunes on there, but there's also some very, very old material and traditional material, and I think it just showcases this the really immense capacity of this brand new instrument.
It's going further than just exploring it, in my mind. It's what it's doing is it's almost the beginnings of, here is the kind of repertoire that it can carry. Here's its natural home, in a way, one idea of that, because every player will have their own idea about that.
It feels, with the release of this record, like it's the beginning of a much longer journey, you know, like it's embarking on a big adventure that we got to kind of like be the initial launch for.
I thoroughly enjoyed being in the studio with you again, Drew. It was very energized experience, and it's really exciting to share and to be able to tell the Great American Folk Show listeners about it as well. So it's smashing, and thanks very much for taking the time to talk.
No, it's great. I'm so excited by this project and about all the fun gigs we've got coming up to make more of this music.
Oh, indeed, and I'm very much looking forward to that too, Roo. Thanks for joining me today for a chat, and to Tom for hosting us on the Great American Folk Show. And thanks to all of you listening at home. We hope you've enjoyed the music and the chat, and we look forward to sharing more with you in the future.
Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the Lorac family, the estate of Blair Flegel, and Minkota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at Minkota.com.
Not too often one gets to talk with a musician that had Eddie Van Halen and Jerry Garcia guest on an album. But then again, it's not every day I speak to someone who backed up David Bowie at Live Aid, Roger Waters at the Berlin Wall, helped pioneer synth-driven pop music during the peak 80s era of MTV and way beyond, was the first musical director of the TED conferences, and he helped revolutionize the polyphonic ringtones in billions of phones. He's going to be in Newtown, North Dakota, on August the 1st, leading the Totally Tubular Festival at the Four Bears Casino. Thomas Dolby, to borrow one of your song titles, welcome to the North Dakota Airwaves.
Well, thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, I have to ask you, is North Dakota the 50th state for you to check off on your 50-state bucket list? Have you been here before?
You know, I believe it is, unless I've driven through in the past, but I'm looking forward to paying you a visit.
Where you're going to experience lots of great scenery on the way, and Newtown's right on Lake Sakakawea, so it's a beautiful vista there. I'm sure you'll quite enjoy it. But I know Thomas Dolby fans will flock far and wide to see you for the rare chance to see you play live, busy man that you are. But this is an extra special tour because instead of the really awesome shows you've been doing solo in recent years, you're getting the old band back together that starred on your third album, Aliens Ate My Buick, from 1988. Obviously and unfortunately, it's not possible for a full reunion, but you tell me who's going to be there, the big star addition to the band, and then who sadly cannot be there.
Yeah, so I have two original founding members of the Lost Toy People, Laura Creamer on percussion and backing vocals, and Larry Treadwell on guitar. I also have filling in on bass is Divinity Rocks, who is a very distinguished bass player and singer. And she's best known probably for being the musical director of Beyoncé's backing band.
That's pretty incredible. And actually, I mean, Divinity Rocks, what a bass player. I guess she's schooled in the Victor Wooten style of sort of the hand-slapping bass, which was huge on Aliens Ate My Buick. And I mean, it's quite a funky album. Describe how the bass guitar played such a prominent role on that record.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. A lot of my songs are very bass-driven. They sort of start off with a groove, with a memorable bass line. And when I formed Lost Toy People in the late 80s, I just arrived in Los Angeles and I was only planning to stay for a year or so, but I ended up staying for quite a few years. And I formed a local band to go out and play clubs. I was really in a mood to play some live music. And I put an ad in the Recycler magazine and got a sack full of cassettes. And among them was one from a guy called Terry Jackson, who was a phenomenal bass player, who unfortunately, a couple of years later, was one of Reba McEntire's bands who crashed a private jet, and nobody survived that. So Divinity has some very distinguished shoes to step into, and she does a terrific job. And I think when you come and see us live, you'll see just how crucial the bass parts are to my songs.
Well, the tour is ongoing right now as we speak. I'm talking to you in Phoenix. So how has that been, bringing this band to life on stage and working with the band again?
Tonight's the first night. I'm absolutely thrilled. 38 years since our last performance, which was with Depeche Mode at the famous Rose Bowl 101 concert in 1988. So it's been great getting the old guys back together. You know, it's been a lot of water under the bridge, and of course they don't remember every note of the old tunes, but it's been a great vibe, and I think we're all a bit older and wiser, but still funky as hell.
Yeah, it's a very funky album, and when the album came out, being a Thomas Dolby fan that I am, I mean, it was just like in your face kind of different in a very good way. I mean, it had everything. It had horn-driven stuff that started the album, like that Sinatra-like opener, an incredibly catchy song penned by George Clinton, kind of a definite Parliament Funkadelic mothership vibe going on. There's this little undercurrent of Prince, maybe an homage to him. I was picking up on a Zappa attitude. There's an epic piece called Budapest by Blimp. I mean, you had Robin Leach, you had Ed Asner voices on there. I mean, it was nominated for a Grammy, but I'm wondering, how did your hardcore fans take that record, because it was such a departure?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I mean, on my first two albums, there'd been a couple of sort of very outgoing songs like She Blinded Me With Science and Hyperactive, but the general sort of mode that I tended to be in was quite reflective, quite introverted. So when I moved to LA, it was like Aliens Ate My Beer was like sending a postcard back home saying, hey mom, I'm out here having a great time. My fans, you know, some of them found it a little bit on the nose, understandably, but it actually opened up a legion of other types of fans for me. I think there are some musicians to this day who say, oh, that album, man, that's the one, if you're a Dolby fan. It's called Pulp, P-U-L-P, and it is poisoning the minds of our young
people today. One of the standout tracks on Aliens that a lot of people point to, including like sound engineers apparently, is Pulp Culture. I'm wondering why they gleaned onto that, and can you tell me what's special to you about that song?
Yeah, well, the album was co-produced by Bill Bottrell, who later became very famous for Sheryl Crow and Michael Jackson productions that he did. Bill was an amazing sound engineer, and he kind of ushered in the end of the 80s era of sort of overblown solid-state logic driven, you know, digital effects heavy sound, and he loved to just sort of take a great sounding snare drum and mic it up really well and not do anything to it. And sound engineers often ask me, how, man, how'd you get that snare sound? I go, well, we had this classic Ludwig snare. Yeah, we took it to a corner of, yeah, we mic'd it up with an SM57. Yeah. And that's it. We just put it through the whole song. There's a certain rawness about it, which I think sound engineers find is great for testing out their systems at festivals. So you quite often hear it, you know, in sound checks and things. And audiophiles, I think, when they're showing off their stereos.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to member-supported Prairie Public. I'm Eric Etheridge on the phone with Thomas Dolby. Thomas, every one of your records has a different sound. That's what's so attractive about your music for a lot of fans. But obviously, pianos and synthesizers are always at the forefront, at the heart of it. During your last solo tour, you opened up with an excellent cover of New Order's Blue Monday. I must have watched it 100 times. It's terrific. Why do you think synth-powered music is still so popular and catching on with new generations?
I think the synthesizer is a blank canvas. As the name would suggest, you can use it to simulate the sound of, you know, physical instruments. But it can also be very abstract. And I think in recent years, you know, a lot of musicians have grown up with software synthesizers, you know, using their computers, and they will dig right into the weeds of the software synthesizer and get sounds out of it that don't really replicate anything that we're used to from the physical world. So it's a fascinating instrument for exploration. I think in my case, whereas many of my contemporaries leaned into the inherent sort of coldness and mechanical nature of synths, like, you know, Kraftwerk and Hewan League and Gary Newman and people like that. But I was always into the more sort of the softer human side, really. And so I created these very atmospheric soundscapes with the synths. And my approach to arrangement is quite orchestral. And I've only realized now, really, now that I'm spending so much time around symphony orchestras as a professor at Peabody Conservatory, that I realized that all along I was really just a frustrated orchestral composer.
Thomas, your musical accomplishments, they're long and many. I should mention you are the person, for those that don't know a lot about Thomas's music, but then know this song, Waiting for a Girl Like You. That's your synthesizers that drive that song, the one of their biggest hits. You produced Joni Mitchell and George Clinton. But I think one of your biggest achievements was helming two timeless records. Talk about orchestration. I mean, you were the genius behind the pop genius band Prefab Sprout. There are two albums of theirs, Steve McQueen and Jordan to Comeback. Big ones for me in my collection, too. And if you don't know the band, and there are probably many that unfortunately do not, can you tell us about Prefab Sprout, Thomas, and the frontman Patty McAloon, and how you look back on those records today?
Yo, Prefab Sprout was a band formed by two brothers, Paddy and Martin McAloon, up in the northeast of England, sort of close to Newcastle. They had a band since a very early age, and Paddy, who actually went to a seminary and I think was destined for the cloth, but sort of rebelled against that and became a songwriter, and very early on was compared to people like Steely Dan, very sophisticated pop music with lots of complicated chord sequences and so on. One dance, whose steps I never could learn. It's called the Wedding March. I actually met them because I heard, I was a guest reviewer on Radio 1, BBC Radio 1, in the UK, and I really detested most of the records I had to review, except this one from Prefab Sprout. So I said very nice things about it. And the band were listening at the time, and they approached me and said, you know, would I consider working with them on an album? And that turned into a decade-long relationship. I did 2.5 albums with them. And Steve McQueen in particular, but also Jordan the Comeback, which was at the end of the 80s, are considered, you know, in the UK, some of the best albums, you know, ever. Certainly some of the best to come out of that decade. And Paddy now, unfortunately, is not well. He has serious health problems, hearing problems, and eyesight problems. But he still lives out in the hills outside Newcastle and has a long white beard.
Yeah, sort of Gandalf-like, right? Yeah,
he has a white linen suit and a stick with an emerald handle. And he's occasionally spotted in the hills around there, sort of like the Yeti, but considered a national treasure in the UK.
He is, and his brother, you know, the music lives on through his brother, Martin. Martin's playing shows, and I know he's opened some shows and played with you. I think you guys did Bonnie not too long ago, right?
We did, yeah. I mean, we played Bonnie together. He's open for a bunch of shows for me in the UK. And Martin is great. He's sort of like a stand-up comedian whose particular gimmick is that he used to be in a top pop group years ago, and his brother is a genius national treasure. So, I mean, it's great to have had that relationship, and I really care about those albums, you know, almost as much as my own. So I think if you've never heard of Prefab Sprout, you should get their album, which is called Two Wheels Good in the USA.
That's right, because of a dispute with the Steve McQueen estate, it's called Two Wheels Good here in the US. And then Jordan to Comeback, you'll hear Thomas Dolby on it. I mean, your signature is there, we hear it, but what I love about it is you really just let the music and Patty and the band flourish, and the production is crisp, like you said, almost Steely Dan-like in its sonic crystalline crispness, and it's just, those are two wonderful time capsule records. All I stole and I took from you, but Barley don't live at home.
Barley don't live at home. Well, thank you. I appreciate the compliment. I think the thing about production is that when the arrangement is good, your job is half done already. So I spent a lot of time with the band just sort of working through the arrangements in the rehearsal room before we ever went into the studio.
The Totally Tubular Festival is at the Four Bears Casino in Newtown, North Dakota. It's happening Saturday, August 1st. Thomas Dolby and the Lost Toy People full band, they're going to be headlining. Also there, A Flock of Seagulls, Bow Wow Wow, The Producers, Animotion, The Escape Club. And yes, the band with the most famous phone number in the world, Tommy Two Tone. Now you can find info on tickets at thomasdolby.com or Four Bears Casino, that's with the number 4.com. There's ticket, hotel, bus packages from Bismarck and Williston, things like that. Thomas, what is it like touring with all these bands that kind of came out or came to life at the same time that you did?
There's a lot of love, actually. You know, it's like when we were in our 20s, we were all a bit frosty to each other, a bit competitive, you know, the British wave, and we were sort of keen to hog the limelight. You know, you get to our age, and backstage it's kind of a riot, actually, you know, because people have their husbands and wives and girlfriends and boyfriends and, you know, their nannies and kids and personal trainers and But it's very warm-hearted and chummy, and nobody's going to stay up all night, you know, in a hotel bar, because you've got to be up at 7 a.m. to meet with your Pilates instructor.
Now, I mentioned in the beginning that that the album that featured Eddie Van Halen and Jerry Garcia soloing on separate songs, that album was called Astronauts and Heretics. The song that opens that record is truly a special one for not only me, but we play it a lot here at Prairie Public. It's called I Love You, Goodbye. It features Cajun Stars Beau Soleil, one of my favorite piano solos from you, and a line about a dirty Datsun, which literally was my first car. Can you share any insight into that song? Was this Cajun tale autobiographical?
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of my songs, you know, sort of based on real life experiences, but then I elaborate and fictionalize them. You know, a good friend of mine in Los Angeles moved very suddenly to New Orleans, and I was very sad to see him go. But I went down there with him and sort of got an inside view of New Orleans and out in the bayou, the whole sort of Cajun scene there. And I was really enchanted with it and had this sort of great experience there. And I, you know, I wrote this song about that experience. Got me in a lot of trouble though, because when I'm writing lyrics, if it scans and it rhymes, then I don't often do a lot of research as to the verification of it. So I mean, I got in a lot of trouble because, you know, I talk about the Everglades and forgot that the Everglades are in Florida, not in Louisiana. And I talk about a county sheriff, but of course they have parishes down there, not counties.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and Datsuns haven't existed for a number of years. I mean, it was a dirty old Datsun, but of course they changed their name to Nissan. But they seem to love it down there anyway. They call it the Bayou Rain Song. It was very popular in Baton Rouge on the radio.
Oh, I bet. It's just one of many songs that just have stuck with me all my life. Well, if you could just imagine, put your imagination caps on, Thomas Dolby and his full band at Four Bears Casino, August the 1st, and you're playing Aliens Ate My Buick, Thomas, pretty much start to finish, maybe save for one song, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't make sense in the time that we have to play Budapest by Blimp, which is 8.5 minutes long, but the rest of the album we will play, and we'll do our best to reproduce it and add a few tweaks. I hope people come and see us, and it'd be cool to see us in a casino setting.
Tell me about your childhood.
Well, it's very exciting that you are coming to North Dakota. Thomas Dolby, we couldn't be more excited. I thank you so much for joining us on Prairie Public. It's a real thrill.
All right, I look forward to seeing you.
I was hooked to a machine just to keep my mouth from spouting junk. Ha! It must have took me for a fool, cause they chucked me out of school, cause the teacher knew I had the funk. But tonight I'm on the edge, you better shut me in the fridge, because I'm burning up. I'm burning up. With the vision in my brain and the music in my veins,
following Eric Dethridge's conversation with Thomas Dolby, we turn to Canadian singer-songwriter Maddie Simpson, whose new single, Boxcar Baby, has just been released. From years traveling in broken-down buses to performing on stages as notable as The Late Show with David Letterman, an opening for the Deftones as a member of a post-hardcore band, Maddie Simpson has lived a life worth writing about. Those experiences are woven deeply into his music. His songs confront the complexities of the human condition with raw honesty, emotional depth, and quiet compassion. I asked Maddie about Boxcar Baby, and here's what he had to say.
Hey, this is Maddie Simpson. I'm a songwriter from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. I want to tell you about this song I have called Boxcar Baby. I like to sit with an acoustic guitar and just kind of like play around and see what comes out and see what my fingers want to do and where they want to go. So then I'll hum a bit or something and I'll say a few words and sometimes it'll turn into something. And the song started kind of coming to life. And I didn't really know what it was about. And at the same time, I kept running into this guy that was collecting bottles in my neighborhood in a shopping cart. One day he asked me if he could keep his cart around the side of the house I was living in because he was worried someone would steal it. So I agreed to it. I said, yeah, you keep your cart there, no problem. So then I would start running into him more often. I got to know him a bit, and he would tell me a story about how he would have to collect so many bottles every day to pay for his room and everything he needed for the day, and then he would just have to get up and do it all over again, and every day was just like that, just so he can get to the next. So I started seeing him a lot more, and he'd tell me about all the people he'd run into out there and looking for the bottles and all those dramas that happened in the world of a bottle collector. So at the same time, I'm trying to put this tune together, and I'm finding that different things that we're talking about were coming out in tune. And I was like, what's this tune about? So I kept saying this line, boxcar baby, boxcar baby. I don't even know why it came out, but it did. And so I looked it up. I looked up boxcar baby, and what is that? What does that mean? I knew there was a book called The Boxcar Children. It was a term during the Great Depression for the wanderers and the drifters and the people looking for a better life, riding the train, searching for something more and living in the boxcars. So I had that idea, and then I had the conversations of this guy I was meeting in this everyday life who was struggling with the same kind of thing and was like trying to make his way. And I had all of his stories kind of going on, and they were coming out in the tune as well. Yeah, so I started putting the pieces together, and turned into what it was. And so it's a bit about this guy's life that I met, and a bit about a fictional character that I've kind of invented based on a time period and a type of person from an era. So that's how the tune came to be. It was just they both had these kind of similarities going on, and I thought if I made it fictional, then I could go wherever I wanted with it. My musical partner, Justine Fisher, and I made this recording in our apartment. She's playing bass, accordion, and singing some backup vocals, and I'm playing guitar and singing some vocals on this track. Boxcar Baby. I'm Maddie Simpson. Thanks.
Sun just melts away. It's scary. Shadows crawl beside me where I lay. A rundown house on the south side of town. I stole a crowbar and broke the door down. And here I hide wrestling the thoughts inside my mind. Every word she said, I remember. Every word she said. Boxcar baby, boxcar baby, boxcar baby, take me far away. Boxcar baby, I need you here. The song you sang still ringing in my ear. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Four smokes left, buck and a dime, and I'm walking in the rain. Maybe if I'm lucky, I'll find somebody who will be willing to spare some change. Been living far too close to death, probably closer than it seems. I'm tired of losing sleep from the thoughts that haunt my dreams. I remember every word she said. I remember every word she said. Boxcar baby, boxcar baby, yeah. Boxcar baby, take me far away. you sang still ringing in my ear. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's been 15 days since somebody said my name. It's crazy. It's harder to kick than a needle in a vein. Love like a bad drug rattling around my brain. Yeah, like a ghost train making me insane. A memory remains. Boxcar baby. Boxcar baby, yeah. Boxcar baby, take me far away. Boxcar baby, I need you here. The song you sang still ringing in my ear. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And finally, we conclude today's show with a singer whose voice reaches you through texture, through tone, and through emotion. Kristen McClement celebrates new music with a long-lost album. It's called Chalk from the Downs, Iron from My Blood. I had the pleasure of seeing Kristen perform many times, and I can truly say this. Time passes differently for her. She notices things the rest of us hurry past. Her songs slow us down just long enough for us to see them too. And that's the gift of a poet.
Hi, I'm Kristen McClement. Thanks so much for having me. I was born in East London, now known as Kugompo City, in South Africa, and moved to England when I was 13 years old. I see myself as a citizen of the world, a native of the universe, and I carry my cosmic passport wherever I go. I was lucky enough to find a welcoming creative community in Brighton in my early 20s. This group of musicians became known as the Wilcomen Collective, and we continue to support and inspire each other many years later. The need for release and expression through visual art and music have been a constant in my life. I have my amazing mom to thank for being ever encouraging of my artistic endeavors. Although being creative is essential to my being, releasing the music I make, playing shows, and being active on social media has certainly ebbed and flowed. In truth, I'm a deeply sensitive, shy person who daydreams about living off-grid. I'm happiest spending time with those I love, outnumbered by trees, rivers, mountains, and wildlife. My biggest wish for mankind is for us to explore our differences, to cultivate tolerance and acceptance, and ultimately work together to restore the earth and the ecosystems that sustain us. I had a long break from music following the COVID era and the birth of my daughter, who is 4 years old now. She's the best thing that has ever happened to me, after meeting my partner, of course, who is her dad. I had no idea that motherhood would reveal the parts of me that truly needed healing. The song I recorded for this show is a sketch of a new song, and it is very much about the experience of becoming a parent. Raising children requires you to be present, and to be wholly present, you can't be carrying any burdens, any ghosts, any big bad wolves around with you every day. To surrender to the moment is to be free of all pasts and futures. My long-lost second album, Chalk from the Downs, Iron from My Blood, is due for release on the 2nd of October this year. It was created with the help of my talented musical friends and my partner, Dan Harding, who recorded and co-produced the record with me. I've been working with filmmaker and dear friend Max Duncan on visuals for the album. He made a beautifully atmospheric video for my previous single, The Fisherman. It features drone shots of Iceland's otherworldly landscapes. I highly recommend checking out Max's new film, Made in Ethiopia, which he wrote and directed with Emmy-winning filmmaker Shin-Yen Yu. A big thank you to Tom Brusso for having me on his show. I'm a really big fan. And a special thank you to Mary Jones for being the bee's knees. Sending love to everyone listening. To grieve anymore.
And that's our show for today. We'd like to thank you for listening. And we'd like to thank our guests, V. Torres, Donald W.G. Lindsay, and Rue Geddes. Thomas Dolby was on the program. What a treat that was. Maddie Simpson and Kristen McClement. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California. End theme by Burkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Mary Jones is a talent producer. Elizabeth Brousseau helps out with the digital realm. Eric Dazeridge is the producer and editor. My name is Tom Brousseau. What a pleasure it is to be your faithful host and to guide you through thought and music and the Great American Folk Show. Until we meet again, I hope you find that lucky old sun.